else too tonight. I think God has something in store for us. But tonight, we're going to jump in. You know, we started up last week with this series called Out of the Darkness. You know, October is just, October has a tendency sometimes to be a real ugly month in the themes and the things that go on. But, you know, tonight, we're going to continue on and talk about what it means, because God's called us to come out of the darkness. You know, anything, it's kind of funny, anything that happens in the dark usually is like a bad thing. Like, that's when serial killers are there, you know what I mean? Like, it's where the boogeyman is, the dark underneath the bed, you know what I mean? Usually dark is just this idea, it's this metaphor, it's this picture of yucky stuff. If I can say yucky in church, it is yucky, ucky, and absolutely ooey and gooey in every wrong way. You know, it's where we go to hide things we don't want anybody to see. You know what I'm saying? And that's what darkness is. And today, tonight, God's calling us out of darkness. Whatever your darkness may be, whatever the darkness is around you. You know, sometimes, even if you call yourself a Christian, sometimes we as people have a tendency to be kind of like Eeyore. That's right, Eeyore, the donkey from Winnie the Pooh. You know what I'm saying? Like, he walks around, and, you know, Pooh's chilling, eating his honey, you know. Rabbit's having a conniption fit over there, of course. You know, Piglet's out cleaning something up. And here comes Eeyore with his own little personal rain cloud that follows his poor little tail. And it's just, you know, sad. He could go into a birthday party and still be sad. And in life, sometimes we live like that. We carry our own cloud of darkness wherever we go. It just follows us like a pet. And some of us have this amazing talent of hiding it. You know, some of us have the greatest smiles, and we could be the funniest people, but on the outside. But sometimes on the inside, we have this cloud that's over our heart that we hide from people. Tonight, God's calling you out of that. Tonight, God wants to send a wind your way and push that darkness away. In 1 John chapter 1, you know, God's talking to us, and he's telling us a couple things about darkness. He's talking about some of our lives in this place. In 1 John 1, verse 5 and 6, the Bible tells us this. It says, "This is the message which we've heard from him," capital H, Jesus. "The message that we're declaring to you." This is the message that we need to hear, me and you today. That we're the ones he's talking to right now. The message is this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God's got nothing to hide. It's all lit on the table. In the Bible, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's history. That's God's heart for us. God is hiding nothing from us. Matter of fact, God tells us that he's not going to do anything unless he tells us first. The only problem is that if we're hanging out in the dark, if we're hiding from God, if you're not listening to him, we miss it. And it continues on. It says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." It says, if we say that we have fellowship, if we're cool, if we're close, if we are saved, if we have God in our heart, if we say that we're a Christian, if we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from sin. You know, it's funny, this thing we're talking about, light and darkness, it's this epic battle. I mean, it really is, between light and darkness, good and evil. And it's kind of funny because there's like this, over your life, there's this war. There's a war happening over your life. And it's funny because it's not a physical thing. We talked about that last week. And the crazy thing, we even talked about this last week, is that this war that's happening, in one sense, it's already over. In another sense, it's still going on, because 2,000 years ago, the war ended when Jesus died on the cross. I mean, Jesus wins. I think we've all known the end of the book. Like, God wins, right? God's not going to lose. It's kind of hard for God, the creator of the universe, to lose. Just not going to happen. I mean, you could play God a million times, Monopoly, and he's going to beat you every time. You know what I'm saying? You can't beat the banker, all right? Amen. I know, I've been the baker, and I never lose. So that's the way it works. But the funny thing is, you and I, there's times where we lose. There are times where we get our butts kicked. There's times where we live like Eeyore, where we live in the darkness. You see, the battle that's raging on is in your mind. The battle is our soul. You know, Jesus has won. But the difficulty is us. Because sometimes we side with Jesus, and it feels like sometimes we side with Satan, with the world. You know, one day you feel like, oh, I can't wait to go to church. The next day you say, man, do I gotta go again? You know, all right, can we be real? I feel like that sometimes, and I'm a pastor. But it's true. And there's this battle inside of your brain. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's like those cartoons sometimes. We have the devil on this side. You got the little angel on that side. It sounds so funny and dumb, but honestly, that's oftentimes the battle that rages. We have all these voices speaking into our life, God speaking and telling us. You know, and then you have the world, these pressures, temptations, Satan himself speaking to us, trying to get us to go on the losing end. You know, I have this picture I want to show you guys, and it's a skit, it's a drama, it's fairly intense, and I want to show it to you because it's exactly what we're talking about today. It's a picture of people's lives, maybe of your life, or if this picture of this person's life doesn't look like yours, then I'm going to tell you this, that when you go to school tomorrow, all you have to do is look around first, second, third period, walk through your school at lunch, and I'm going to tell you it's the story of people that you go to school with. And if it's not your story, your piece in it is to be the one who helps it to end the right way. You know, today I want to go ahead and welcome the drama team real quick here. They're going to show a skit to you guys. Gosh, I see that. And it's, you know, when I watch that, there's times where I see faces of people that I know. They went through that. They're going through that. If only they had known. And I don't know if it's the same way with you, but with some of us in this place, they got to go do it in junior high too. But with some of us in this place, you could probably put a name or a face on one of those situations, if not our own. The places we've been, the things that we've battled with, the issues maybe even in your life right now that you're dealing with. And there's a battle for your soul, for your mind. In Luke, the 11th chapter, it talks about this battle that goes on. And Jesus is out healing people, and he's out helping people. He's out bringing hope to the hopeless. He's out sharing what he has to offer compared to what this world has to offer. And people begin to get offended. They begin to get bothered when they see these things. And keep this picture in mind that we just saw. And it says this, when Jesus is saying in Luke 11, verse 21, he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in place. You know, this is funny because it sounds like, you know, Jesus begins to tell this picture of this story. And actually, it's what just happened up here. You see, the strong man, a lot of us would think that that's us. I'm strong, I'm armed. But the truth is that strong man in this story is Satan. The devil. He's in a palace. He's in his palace, fully armed and guarding his palace. But the funny thing is that palace is not hell. That palace is us. It's funny because when he guards his own palace, when Satan claims us as his own, when hell calls us theirs, they hold up and they set up shop over our lives. You know, in this picture of this story, this girl desired to be with God. But something happened. She became distracted. She bought into the lie that maybe something is better than what God has to offer me. So she let go. And her life was purchased, was owned, was used by these different things. Whether it was the boy, or the money and the status, whether it was the perfection she thought, or maybe it was the depression that began to overrun her. You know, put anything you will in that spot. Fill in the blank. But Jesus tells this picture. It says this, when a strong man fully armed barges in and takes ownership of a palace, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger When one stronger than him comes upon him, verse 22, and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoils. who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Then he begins to tell us a really weird story here. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, that spirit goes through dry places seeking rest. When he doesn't find it, he says that the demon says to himself, I think I'll return to my house, that palace that I was kicked out of. He comes back and he finds it swept up in order, nice and clean, but empty. So he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than at the first. You know, the Bible says, calls you and me something interesting. It says, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, our home, our heart is a house that God desires to live in. The Bible says, our life, our heart, we're like a temple, a house, a place that God's looking to be a part of. You know, the Bible is funny. It tells us this. It says that God doesn't want a building or a palace. God doesn't want, you know, big monuments and statues. No, God wants your heart. That's what he's been after ever since the beginning of time, is yours and my heart. And see, what's valuable to God is what Satan hates, your heart, your life. So he'll do whatever he can to fill that space up and mess it up. You know, question today is this, is who's filling your heart? The question today is this, is who's the strongest man in your life? You know, the Bible tells us that this man is strong, he's fully armed, but the stronger man, when he comes in, kicks butt, takes stock, cleans out house. Ain't nobody stronger than Jesus. Yeah, look, there's no problem that you have that God cannot solve. There's no issue that God cannot deal with. I don't care how messed up or jacked up your family. I don't even care if you live with your family or not. Maybe you're stuck in a foster home. Look, if you're in this place today, and if you will allow Jesus Christ to be the strong man in your life, every problem, every issue, everything that's wrong in your life, he can deal with. And he can make your mess into something that's beautiful. I've seen him do it time. He did it in my life. And if he could take a jacked up little Mexican kid from San Bernardino and do something with me, hey, I think you're going to be handled. God can do it. I love it because it says the stronger man comes and he disarms that strong man. Look, Satan, if you have Jesus in your life, there's no weapon that Satan can use against you. There's no trap that this world can get you into unless you walk into it yourself. See, defeat comes in our lives not because God isn't there, but because we allow things into our life. See, that young woman walked with Jesus. She allowed something to take her eye off of him and walked away. And it wasn't until she began to realize it and snap out of it that God's power worked and moved in her life. I love what the Bible says, that God draws backsliders, people who walked away from him, back with bands of love. See, defeat comes with deception and distraction. Simple. I don't want to take too much time with this because I want to pray tonight. But the battle for your mind happens between truth and deception. See, look, here's the thing. With some of us in this place, maybe you love God. And maybe you're thinking, you know, Pastor Richard, I'm never going to not become a Christian. I love Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I'm never going to walk away from God. Cool. Well, look. If Satan knows that he can't kill you, then he's just going to try to make you useless in your life. Because some of you in here, some of us in this place, you're not going to be fooled out of your ticket to heaven. You're not going to be fooled to walk away from Jesus. So if Satan can't get you away from Jesus, he just wants to get you to the place where you're useless in his hands. That happens when he can deceive you. See, when we forget the difference between truth or deception. 1 Corinthians 3:18, you don't got to turn there. But I love because it says this. It says, 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, let no one deceive himself. Whew. It's funny how we convince ourselves to do things. It's funny. It's like, you know it's wrong. You know it's really stupid. You know he is no good for you. Okay? And then you look at him with those light green eyes. Woo! I'm telling you. The way it contrasts with his skin. His little lined up haircut, brother looking fine. Maybe like the dudes with the really tall hair. I don't know. And you know he is no good for you. You know. But if I, maybe I could bring him to church. Then he'll be okay. Why do ladies always want to change a dude? I don't know, man. Seriously. Okay. Anyway. Granted, some dudes need changing. But anyway, I digress. And we deceive ourselves. Somebody like that. We trick ourselves into doing stupid things. 1 Corinthians says, let no one deceive himself. We trick ourselves all the time. It's a whole deal with the dentist. I hate the dentist. Brother always poking in my mouth trying to find something wrong. Seriously, it wasn't hurt until you poked it. And we think, you might have preached to myself, we think we don't need to go to the dentist in, 2 years. Is it my teeth aren't that yellow? They don't hurt unless I drink soda. You know, And we trick ourselves like we don't need, we're okay. You know, dentists will tell you that if your teeth hurt, it's already too late. You got problems. Now, I'm not trying to drive anybody to the dentist here today. Maybe I should, but that's the way we treat it. Just a little bit. It's not going to do anything. It won't harm me that bad. And that's the problem. See, that's the problem with deception. Is it so fun? Sin is so fun sometimes. And I'm just going to be real here, okay? I'm not going to tell you anything you guys don't already know. But sin is fun sometimes. It's, like, enjoyable. Talking smack on people. I mean, hey, look, you know you like to hear a good juicy story sometime or other, all right? She said, what? He was wearing, woo! They were out how late? I mean, it's, you know, that's why people buy tabloids, okay? That's why people watch TMZ, all right? Because it's so fun. And that's the thing about darkness is the devil sells us poison that tastes like candy. And we drink it because it tastes good. And we trick ourselves into not knowing any better. Let no one deceive himself. 2 Timothy, if you have, this is an underliner here. 2 Timothy 4th chapter, verse 3 and 4. It's kind of crazy because it's so true. 2 Timothy. Back with all the T books in the Bible together. Kind of neat. Good job, God, making it easy on me. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this. It says, for the time will come, I think it's now, when people will not endure sound doctrine. That means things that are taught right. But according to their own desires, because people, you and me, have itching ears, we'll gather for ourselves teachers. And these teachers will turn our ears away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. You know, what the Bible's saying here is there come a time where people, they don't want to hear the truth. Because let's just be real, the truth sucks, okay? The truth hurts, and I don't want to hear the truth all the time. Sometimes we want to live in a lie. We want to believe the lie because the lie sometimes is so much easier to believe than the truth. And the truth tells us what's wrong with us. And we don't like that. The truth tells us that the truth tells us things that are wrong with us. That's why women and men all around America wear Spanx, okay? You know, it's kind of like, imagine one big rubber band you put around your body. That's what Spanx is, all right? All right? All right? I mean, that's why we wear concealer and fat, well, you know, ladies, not me. Lord knows. That's why we chew gum and have breath mints. Because your breath stank, you just want to hide it. Amen? And many of us should continue to eat breath mints and chew gum. Don't change that habit, please. Including me, because after preaching breath, it's death. I'm sorry if I pray for you afterwards for your poor nose. But the Bible says that people will gather for themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear and not the truth. Look. Psychiatrists and sociologists and scientists and polls, they will tell us how everything we do that we shouldn't be doing is right. It's true. Find a sin and you'll find somebody in Congress to legalize it. You just got to vote them in. Look, find a sin. And you look it up on Facebook and you'll find the fan page so you can like it. It's true. Look. You don't have to. You have to go very far to find people who will tell you the things you're doing are right when they're really wrong. We live in a place where right is wrong and wrong is right because if enough people like to do something that's wrong, then all we have to do is find some type of scientist or psychologist to do a study and work the numbers right to where, hey, oh, this is okay, guys. This is all right. It's actually healthy if we do this. In the 1920s, they would tell you that smoking was good for you. They tell you that scientists would tell you smoking was good for your lungs. No, it wasn't live by then, thank God. Hey, look, a couple hundred years ago, back in the 1800s, doctors prescribed cocaine to you. They would, and they said it was healthy for you. Look, I mean, I'm telling you, and today people are doing with different things. I ain't gonna point nothing out, but I'm just saying that's what people do. They have heaped up for themselves teachers to make them feel better about what they do wrong. The battle between truth or deception. If you don't like what you hear in church, then you need to keep on going there. I'm just saying, you know. Look, if you go to a church and the pastor ain't bugging you, then you went to the wrong church. If you go to a church and the pastor says things that you don't like, then maybe you need to check yourself instead of checking out of that church. If you find a Bible verse that you don't like or you don't understand, maybe you need to read a little closer. Because the truth will rub you the wrong way. Because look, if we're going to become godly and more like Jesus, that means somebody's got to change. It ain't going to be Jesus. It's going to be us. So we need to be like God and let go of the things that we're holding on to. Because we all have that one issue that we don't want to let go. It's hard. Satan will get us deceived. That's the battle, is to trick us into liking the things we should not be doing. And then it's to make us lose our focus and distraction. See, defeat comes through deception and distraction. And distraction is a thing that if you have in your heart that you're never going to leave Jesus Christ because you love him and you know the truth, then the next thing that the enemy wants to do is this world will want to distract you from the things of God. Because if Satan can keep you busy, then he'll keep you. You'll be close to God, but you'll be too busy to do anything for him. You'll be too busy to get any closer to him. Look, busyness and distraction is one of his best weapons against us. Because it's so easy. So easy. Proverbs, you just put up here, Proverbs 4, 25, I think it is. Proverbs 4, 25, 27. Give it here. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. That means focus, people. Focus. Wake up, sit up, open up. Turn, get off of Facebook right now, unless you're talking to somebody about the message. Get off Facebook. Get off your Twitter. Look. I know you need to be texting your friends right now, but I think they can wait because you need to look straight ahead right now. Let me look straight ahead. Get me. Stand up. Sit up straight. All right. Wake up. Come on. Focus. Bible says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look right before you. Give me the next one right here. It says this. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. It didn't say smoking weed. It didn't say sleeping around. It didn't say shooting up. The evil it's talking about is losing your focus. Funny, because I swear like half of us in here have ADD. I mean, seriously. It's like, shiny thing. Oh, what's that? I know, huh? It's like, Pastor Richard, your glass is supposed to be anti-reflective. Why are they reflecting? Wait, what's that over there? You know, so seriously. I mean, look, and I can say this because, brother, so deep down inside me is a little ADD four-year-old that wants to get out, all right? So, and that's like the world we live in. Look, you can set up your phone to have notifications. Your phone can interrupt your day and tell you somebody's texting you. Oh, wait, somebody's tweeting about you. Oh, wait, your calendar says you need to brush your teeth right now. Oh, wait, the next notification comes up, and all of a sudden, look, you need to. I mean, it's like, seriously, can I please get a train of thought that lasts more than 30 seconds? And then somebody walks down the hall with squeaky shoes. What's that? I swear, that is our society in a nutshell. Is 30 seconds, what's next? And God says, let your eyes be fixed forward. Because if we live a distracted life, you won't do anything. let alone anything for God. Look, if our attention span is so short, we'll miss out on everything God has for us. We've got to focus instead of being distracted. In Luke 10:40, if you want to turn there, you can, but it's a story about two sisters. Jesus came to town, decided to have dinner at their place. Mary and Martha, they're there, and could you imagine if Jesus came to your house? I mean, seriously, you'd be like, put everything in the closet. So that's what Martha was doing. Martha was putting everything in the closet. Oh, snaps, keep him out of this room. Keep him in the front room. I got to go and pick up the doggy do in the back. What if he steps out there? Jesus just float over it, you know what I'm saying? But and then all of a sudden, she's in the kitchen, and Martha is like the holy blur. Zunk, 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 zunk. And she's cooking, and she's cleaning, and she's doing this and that. And she's doing things, and Mary is right there talking to Jesus. It says this here. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister Mary's left me to serve all alone? Tell her to help me. She was distracted. The crazy thing is this. It was she was distracted with much serving. Last time I checked in the Bible, serving was a good thing. And now it's a bad thing? What? Seriously? God, you're turning everything around on me. The second I think you want it, you're going to change things up on me. See, here's the issue. It was not how she was serving, as she was distracted. It's funny because even the greatest things in the world can be distracting. I swear, I think Satan, and I don't talk about Satan a lot tonight, but you got to know what he's doing in our lives, in your lives. I think sometimes one of Satan's best tricks is to give us good things to do. There's a lot of people here that aren't here tonight because they have to do no homework. Don't get me wrong, I want you to do your homework. But you should. But if it becomes a distraction from the things of God, then you're losing your focus. I love sports, and I think you need to be involved with sports because they're good. Man, win your games. But if it distracts you from Jesus, you gotta check it out. Whether that's family, whether that's a part-time job, whether that's serving and helping and volunteering. Look, guys, if it's a distraction and it gets your eyes off of Jesus, then it's a bad thing. No matter how good it is, if it becomes a distraction, and a distraction is simply something that takes your eyes off of the target, takes your eyes off of the goal, takes your eyes off of something that's important. If that's a distraction, then you need to get rid of it. I mean, in your life, there's places you want to go, things you want to do. Whatever your goal is, if it distracts you from that goal, no matter how good it is, you need to get rid of it, specifically in the place of Jesus Christ in your life. Look, do these things, but not at the risk of becoming distracted from what God wants you to do. See, Jesus said, look, Martha, I appreciate what you're doing, but you're missing out on the important thing. You're missing out on the important thing. And if you're missing out on the important thing, why do I want to do a million things that are not important and miss out on doing one thing that is important? You know what I'm saying? Why do I want to do a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter when I could at very least do one thing that does matter? That's what God is screaming at us today. Because look, if this world, if they can't get you to give up your salvation, they'll get you to give up any effectiveness that you have in, to strip the power away that God's given us. The Proverbs tells us, don't look to the right or the left. Be focused. Be focused in what God has for you. If you guys got anything out of God tonight, let's give him praise.